coming. I tell you, he's coming, folks, and we see the days in which we live, a lot is taking place, and we can look up knowing that our redemption draweth nigh. I'd like for us today, we'll look at a couple of places of Scripture. I'd like for us to begin by looking at Mark chapter 13. This portion of Scripture is dealing with the latter days, dealing with the end time events. But I'd like for us to see what Jesus said regarding the Holy Spirit and His work in a believer. And then, of course, looking to see how that works in your life and mine today as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking about making a difference by example. In Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1, we find that the disciples now, he names four, Mark does, that asks the question of the Lord. Let's go there as we begin. Verse number 1 says, "And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here? And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately." Now we've got the two sets of brothers, James and John, and Peter and Andrew, coming to the Lord after the question being asked about this building and the materials there. Look at, if you would, think about it. They go from the temple and looking at the beauty of Jerusalem. Those huge buildings, all of the beauty. And they're concerned about that, not one stone upon another. Verse 4 says, requesting, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogue ye shall be beaten. Ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. And when they, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." Let's pray once again. Father, we ask the Holy Spirit now to speak to our minds and hearts today as we consider your word, your thoughts. And dear God, we pray, Lord, that you would help us as you spoke to those disciples to see who you are, what our mission is, and how, Lord, we can fulfill and be an example to the things of God in the day and time in which we live. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. We find in this portion of Scripture Jesus talking with his disciples about the latter days. These, of course, these two sets of brothers in Mark's gospel. Most of the time it's usually Peter, James, and John, but he adds Andrew. Andrew's with him, and they have a question concerning, when will the stones be cast down? When will this beauty fall? What is going to take place with these things? And then, of course, Jesus begins by opening up and sharing some of the things that will transpire in the future. He's talking about for the nation of Israel. He's talking about the people of God, the elect, the chosen of God, the people of Israel. How is this going to end for them? And what we find in this text, of course, is a giving of a future event prior to the church being birthed into existence. So he's speaking to a Jewish mindset about Jewish things. And when we see this, we wonder, many people do, how is that working for us today? And we'll look at some of this, because you and I are not a part of the nation of Israel. We make up the body of Christ. Christ, of course, is the head of the church, and you and I are the building of that church. You and I fill with the Spirit of God. But he said for them in that day that there would come a time when the Holy Spirit would fill them with the Word at the hour that they had need of it. And that's what I want us to think of and look at verse 11. He said, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate." In other words, don't fret over what may be needed to be said. In other words, the Jews, and some people look at it, could be kind of a twofold looking at this. What he's speaking of course, is the latter days when the Jews will be beaten, as he says. They'll be hounded and hunted down. We see that today, but not in the full extent that's coming prior to the second coming of the Lord. The nation of Israel, every nation wants to get to them today. And let's thank the Lord that we're standing with Israel. Thank the Lord that the Christians today are praying for Israel. But there's coming a time when they will be hated of all people. There's coming a time when the Holy Spirit is going to fill them and use them. Today, that's not the hour. This is not the time as of yet. It could begin at close to any time, but right now, that's not the hour. The hour today is the hour where the Holy Spirit is working in the church and working in the life of the believer. So I want us to see this just a moment, how this works. They're not going to have to premeditate or think about what they're going to say at that hour and time. But he said, "Whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." Keep that thought in mind just a moment. They will one day speak with the Holy Spirit speaking inside of them. That's the nation of Israel. Let's turn, if you would, now to the book of Acts as we look in Acts chapter 1. Some of the last words given by Jesus as he ascends into heaven, or just prior to his ascension. He has, of course, made himself known since the resurrection, seen by as many as 500 at one time. And now he has gathered his disciples. They are gathered as he is about to ascend to heaven, and he gives the commission, of course, to go into the world. He had said this in Mark's gospel. He'd said it as well in Matthew. But what we find in Acts chapter 1, we'll pick up, if you would, in verse number 7. "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." Again, this brings back, when is he coming? What is going to be the sign of that? When he's going to restore the kingdom? That's what they asked just prior to that. Verse 6, they said, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" See, the Jewish people are really concerned about what God is going to do for them. Now, these disciples, of course, Peter, James, and others now that have become saved, they know Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. We see that he's speaking to them. And he said, it's not for you to know these things, but it's in the power of the Father. But he says in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So he's speaking now of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Not what he said back in Mark, where the nation of Israel is going to be filled. Those that are, of course, believers will be filled with the Spirit of God. But we see the Spirit of God being given that's coming on the day of Pentecost as he ascends into heaven. They are to wait for for this Spirit to come. And when He comes, the Holy Spirit of God, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He's talking about how this body now, this church, this bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be filled with the Spirit of God. And we see that today. We see how the Holy Spirit came. Peter began to preach. People put their faith in Christ. They're saved. The church is born. And now the church is going into the uttermost parts of the earth. There's two different pictures for what he says, where they're going to be arrested and put into jail. They're going to be before kings. They're going to be hated of all nations. That's two different things that we're looking at. Right now, today, the Holy Spirit is working through the believer, all born-again believers. Can there be a Jewish believer? There can be, but not as a whole. One day, the nation of Israel are going to receive the Spirit of God. And, of course, that's what he's dealing with in the latter days back in Mark. But what we're looking at is, how can we respond today, you and I, in this age in which we live, being filled with the Spirit of God? How can we accomplish what he has asked to do? He said, let it begin in Jerusalem. Now, these were Jews, of course, that he was speaking to just prior to his ascension. It began in their own hometown, own home culture. Jews being filled with the Spirit of God now and witnessing to their own family members. You know how hard that is. You're talking about witnessing to your own family. Who knows you more than your own family? Who knows you more than the community where you live? Who knows better about you than your next door neighbor or someone that you've been raised with? And this is where it begins. It begins here. And the thing that we see is that the Holy Spirit gives the power to be that example, to be that witness. You and I are to be a witness for the Lord, but we're not left alone to do it. Thank the Lord for that. He gives us the power. We're not to, again, he said in the future for the nation of Israel, they want to premeditate and sit there and think, what is it I can say when they ask this? No, the Holy Spirit gives that. He does that today. We should, I think, according to what we see in Scripture, we should have a plan. He said, let it begin in Jerusalem, in Judea. We're going in a, if you would, kind of a circle. If you dropped a stone into a water, you would see the ripple effect. Let it begin at Jerusalem, and the next wave out would be Judea, and from there Samaria, and from there the uttermost part of the earth. And that's what we find the working of the Holy Spirit did. He began on the day of Pentecost. He began to work in the heart of Peter. Peter conveyed the message to the people. The people responded to that message, and they began to go out, if you would. That weight began to move. And even you think about that, you've got Jerusalem where the Pharisees were that hounded Christ, that had him crucified, that group of Sadducees and Pharisees that hated the Lord. And now we're talking about being a witness to them. Peter, James, and John and others had seen how they treated the Son of God himself. But we're not going out, they would say, in our flesh or with our premeditated thoughts. He said, I'll give you the thoughts through the power of the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit today, who doesn't change, gives us the ability to speak to other people. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, when you and I are born again and filled with the Spirit of God, and we give ourselves, surrender, submit ourselves to his authority, he will use us and he will give us the words to say. It's amazing how that sometimes we think that Satan wants to come against us, that you don't have the words to say, you're not a speaker, you don't have the mind to talk with these people or what. And someone would ask a question and it would be something that we would be able to answer. You know, again, sometimes people come up with questions from the Scripture. What does this mean? What does this say? And we have to say, well, let me go back and look and see and find out where we're going. But the Holy Spirit will bring it to mind. He'll bring that thought to mind, and you'll be able to say, where in the world did that come from? After you walk away and thinking, thank God for that. I couldn't have studied enough to have answered that question, but the Holy Spirit gives it to you at the proper time. And that helps us in our witness. See, we begin at home. That doesn't mean that all of the Jews in Jerusalem accepted the message, for we know that it did not. But they didn't stop, and this is what he's saying. We're not to stop because we're rejected by family or people close to us. We're to go to the next realm, the Judea, just outside, maybe the next village, the next city, whatever it is. And then we're to go from there. What about the Samaritans? What do we know about them? Well, according to what we find in John's gospel, they were a kind of a half-breed Jew. Remember, the nations were divided. There were 12 tribes, and they divided under the reign of Solomon, where 10 tribes went to the north. They called themselves Israel. Be careful with that. There's, Israel is the whole nation, if you would, in looking at the world today. But then they called themselves Israel as they went to the northern kingdom. And those 10 tribes were scattered. The Assyrians defeated their king. The kingship is divided. You've got the southern kingdom with Judah and Benjamin. You've got the northern kingdom with the other 10 tribes. They're carried into captivity, scattered, if you would, mixed with other nations. And some of those Jewish people came back into a place called Samaria. That's where they worshiped. The northern kingdom, they worshiped. They had places set up idol worship. And those people came back there, part Jews, and to the Jew in Jerusalem, Judah and Benjamin, they saw their cousins, so to speak, half-breeds, as being less. And the Jews, half-breeds, if you would, in Samaria, that's what the lady at the well said to Jesus. We worship in this mountain, and you worship in Jerusalem. Jesus said, there's coming a day when you worship in neither place. You're going to worship Him in spirit and truth. When you're born again with the Spirit of God, by the truth which is the Word of God, that becomes in your heart, what's leading you in all things. And you worship God out of a heart of truth and through the Spirit of God. That's how we worship Him. It's not a place anymore. It's a person, Jesus Christ. He said this is what's going to happen. And of course, they remember the story of the woman at the well. Jesus meets her, and he tells her things that she's done. He tells her who she is, and she takes that and goes back. And we find the village with people coming out to where Christ is because of her testimony of what Jesus had said. He told me all things about myself. That's what the Word of God does. It shows us who we are. It shows us where we're headed. It shows us what we can do and what we cannot do. And when we take that in and receive that truth, then we have a new heart and a new person being in Christ. And now his disciples see this village coming out. Jesus said, the fields are white and the harvest. He's talking about the harvest is coming. The laborers are few. Lift up your eyes. Folks, there's a harvest of souls just around this community. And if we can't get them here and they won't listen, then let's go a little bit further. And if that doesn't, we've got a commission. He said we're to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things. We're to baptize believers. We're to do the work of the Lord until He returns. So we find that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. So we find it again with the Samaritans. He's telling these disciples, you once looked down on them, but you're to love them. We're all one in Christ. And he tells them to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. What are you going to say to them? Don't premeditate. Don't worry about that. When the time comes, the Holy Spirit will fill you. He'll give you the word to speak. And you're going to be a witness, he said, and ye shall be. That's future tense. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Think with me just a moment. Christ has given these disciples who've been followers of his this these words of truth to tell them how he's going to work through them and what they will do. And yet at the same time, there's a man who has been rejecting Christ, sought after him to put him to death, a Pharisee by the name of Saul, and the Holy Spirit drawing him to himself all this time. Sometimes we try to figure out how are we going to do this and what God's going to do, and God's working somewhere else in somebody else's life. And he brings us all together. He brought Paul together with Peter. He called Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And we see how that he works in and through. And the same Holy Spirit that he's speaking of here in the Acts chapter 1 is the same Holy Spirit that resides in your heart and my heart today. Isn't that something? We see the world today in the chaos that it's in. Many people say, I've never seen anything like this. Of course, Scripture speaks of this. We'll go back at Mark in just a moment and see this. The day is coming when this whole plan of God is going to come to fruition. The nations rising against nations. But what we need to realize is that God is using us in his grand scheme of things today. For today is the day of the church, what we find in the book of Acts. Today is the day when the Holy Spirit is working in the life of the believer to spread and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the world in our day and time. And you and I are to do that with our lip, and we are to do that as an example of the Lord. We're to be used by the Lord. How can we do that? Well, we allow him to take up his place within us through faith in Christ, and then we allow the Holy Spirit to have control of our mind and our heart and our lips as we give the word of God out. So, having said that, think about this very hour in which we live. We see, again, this world and how God is working today. The church is under attack. You see that. The church is under attack. I just read an article. One of the writers had been doing statistics for Christians for a number of years. And he's saying, of course, you take a lot of it with a grain of salt. How many churches are going to be closed in America this year? It's unbelievable. I wouldn't want to give the figure out. I'm thinking, I don't see how that's possible, but I don't doubt it's the way things are going. Why? People are not going back to church. They say, we don't need to go to church. We can watch it on our phone. We got a podcast. We've got this and so. He says in Philippians 13, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, and so much the more as what? As we see the day approaching. What day is that? The return of the Lord. Folks, we need to be gathered together to draw strength from one another, just as we have fellowship, and it's good to see that. We like to encourage one another, shake hands, say, hey, how's your week going? It's good to see you today. That blesses your heart and soul, and you can't get that through a podcast. I'm not saying it's not good to listen to these things. You use whatever manner is available to keep in touch with the Lord and stay on fire for the Lord, but we need to come together as the ecclesia, the church, the assembly of God, because this is where we draw strength one from another. And this is how the Holy Spirit works. He works in our life. And we've got one plan, and that is to get the gospel out to those who have never heard, to those who are in darkness, to be encouraged by the word of God, to see how we can do that, because we do know the latter day is coming. Let's go back now and look at Mark just a moment. He's talking now for the Jewish people in that day and time. This day that he's speaking of is going to be a future tense for us as well as them. He said, many would come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. He said, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars in verse 7. He said, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. In other words, we're seeing things today. Many people today are concerned about the world, the condition it's in. Folks, as a believer, we know Christ is coming. We know that these things are going to occur. And what we see is an opportunity to try to gather and get as many in to heaven while we can. I think that's what he wants us to do. He said, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We see this in the world today. Our nation itself is being confronted with the other nations. We've had this united nation, group of nations. We've had allies that we have served with in times of world war. What are we seeing today? We're seeing nations being pulled apart. We're seeing nations trying to come in into our nation in the biblical principles that it was founded upon and destroy the foundation of our nation. This is going to happen. Nation rising against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be earthquakes, he says, in diverse places. Famines. Troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. The sorrow he speaks of is not a long period of time. You're talking about a 7-year tribulation period. And we see as we move toward the end time events that we're moving into this situation where when Christ takes the church out of the world, the body of Christ is raised out of this world. He takes us up, calls us up to be with him. The wrath of God is coming on the earth for 7 years. We seek what we could say today might be the birth pains of that. Are there famines in the world today? Sure there are. Have there been earthquakes? Yes, and there'll be more. He says these things are going to continue. But he said, take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils and to synagogues. You shall be beaten. You shall be brought before rulers, kings, for my sake, for a testimony against them. It's amazing today. You look at the world and standing with Israel and what and where they are today. Almost 2 years since Israel was attacked now. And what nations are standing with God's people. And sometimes it's kind of mind-boggling when you're a believer and you see what the Scripture says regarding Abraham and his descendants. And we find that brothers and sisters in Christ who don't know enough of the Scripture to want to stand with the nation of Israel. It's kind of mind-boggling. And you wonder, how could you not? What have you been reading? What have you been hearing? We listen to the Word of God. These are God's people. They're not perfect, no, but God is not through with them. He's going to deal with them. So through this time of tribulation, he's going to work in the hearts of his people. Then the Holy Spirit is going to put within their mouth the words to say. They're going to give honor and glory to Christ. They're going to give honor and glory to the Lord. And he said the gospel must be preached or published among all nations. That gospel that will be preached at that time is not going to be the gospel of grace, faith in Christ. You're talking about the gospel of the kingdom, where Jesus is coming. And the kingdom's going to be established here on this earth. For the bride, for the church, for this time and era in which you and I live, where we're to give out the gospel of salvation through Christ, it will come to an end. And so when we see that, we can find and say that our duty then is to do what Christ has said for us to do and challenge the apostles back in Acts chapter 1, and that is to get the gospel out, the gospel of Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. Tell those who are in darkness, he's coming. There's going to be a day when the gospel will not be preached. There's going to be a time when the church age is going to come to an end. We're going to be called up and called out and called up. And we need to know that. We need to, of course, study the Scripture and see what God says so that we can give that answer. By the way, I think, as Paul said, to study to show thyself approved unto God. When we read God's Word and we listen to God's Word, the Holy Spirit brings that back into mind. What I'm saying is this, not just say, well, I'm glad I'm saved now, and I understand what you're saying, preacher. Whenever I go somewhere, the Holy Spirit will give me that Word. He's not going to give you something that you're not aware of. You need to see that. You need to read that. You need to understand that. And then he'll bring that into mind. He'll bring that into remembrance. And by the way, that's what we want him to do. See, he understands that you and I are humans. He understands that we have limitations. God does. Holy Spirit knows that. And that's why he often reminds us again and again. He reminds us of who we were and what he's done for us. Think about the Holy Spirit this morning, and his job is to bring to mind the things of God. How often is it that Satan comes against our mind and tries to tear down the things of God? You're a failure. You failed again. God doesn't love you. And we are reminded by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of who we are in Christ. And we can take that, and the Holy Spirit brings it to mind. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Where do you get that from? Word of God. He said, I will do greater things in thee. Where do you get that? Mind of God. And as we think about that, we bring to memory who we are, what God's Word says. Jesus said, I am in the Father, and you're in me, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. When Satan says it, your salvation is not secure. Your salvation is temporary. Again, we can take the things of God and we can give them back as he gives them to us and encourage ourselves in the Lord. That's what David did. We find David encouraged himself in the Lord when everyone else had forsaken him. And today I want us to go, as we prepare today, is a special day in the life of the church. We have the Lord's table set before us. And I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 today as we're thinking about bringing into memory what we know and what the Holy Spirit has preserved and given us through the written Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, the Apostle Paul, again, one used by God, filled with the Spirit of God, has recorded for us God's Word in verse 23 of chapter 11. He said, For I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. See, God's not going to ask us to do something that he hasn't equipped us with. Paul is giving us words now through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as they've been given to him. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. We're coming to the table of God today in a way of remembrance. We're being reminded of what Jesus did for us. We're being reminded of who Jesus is. We're being reminded of how important we are to God, how much God loves us, how much did he love us. He gave his son, and his son gave his life, and his son's body was broken. His son's blood was shed, not spilt. I don't know if you catch that sometimes. A while ago we sang about the grace of the Lord. There where the blood of the Lamb was shed. He shed his precious blood. Shedding blood means he willingly allowed his blood to fall from his body. He didn't spill it. You spill something, it was an accident. Would you take this to the back? Whoop. What happened? I spilled it. That's an accident. No, he didn't accidentally die. He died with a purpose. He shed his blood. I'm not throwing off on the songwriter. I'm just trying to emphasize the power of the Word of God. He shed his blood for our sins. He didn't spill it. He shed it willingly. And we're to be reminded of this. This body which is broken. He said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. We'll take the bread. We're reminded of who Christ is and who we are. Verse 25, he said, After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Think about the Lord that night. He had the supper with the disciples. This is the last thing he did. He instituted, if you would, this service of remembrance. And he gave the cup. He said, "This do ye as often in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." We're showing, we're demonstrating what we believe and who we believe. We're to do that, proving, if you would, how much we love the Lord and thanking him for what he's done. Verse 27 says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Verse 28 says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." If we think about this just a moment, he says, let a man examine himself. We ought to prove ourselves. We don't have to prove to God. That's not what he's saying, but the Greek word that's used there is, in a sense, prove by good deeds. Do you love the Lord? Yes. Then show it. Do you believe in the saving faith of Jesus Christ? Yes. Then tell it. Well, I can't do it yet. Why can't you do it with your soul? The Holy Spirit, he's able to lead you to do that. Give a proof of that. Let a man examine himself. I would say that this morning as we come to the table, let us look individually into our own hearts and prove ourselves today. That's not something that I'm looking at you for. You're looking at yourself. I'm looking at my heart. Let us examine ourselves and prove that. Let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let's do it with joy. What a privilege to be able to come to the table and say, this is the body of the Lord. This is the blood. This is emblems, if you would, symbols of who he is and what he did for us. And thank God it reminds us of who we are and where he has brought us. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." There were those, again, Paul spoke of, they came, they took it, and it was just it was kind of an end of a service deal. Well, we'll have that, then we'll go home. No, that's not the way it is. This is the center piece. This is why we're here. We're to be reminded. He said, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Again, many have died because they have not come to the table in a fashion pleasing to the Lord. "For if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another." He's talking about having meals together. "And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Paul's reminding those in Corinth, they were having meals, as I said, kind of tagging on the Lord's table. If you're going to eat, that's good. We all need to eat. But let's be reminded, this is not a place to come and to feel as they were doing, to drink as they were doing, and go away. This is a place to where we come and we be reminded again of who we are in the Lord. What is our purpose? What is God's desire for our life? Well, we've seen that his desire is that we be an example, through lip and through our life. Let our lip and let our life line up together. Let's be what God would have us to be in this generation in which we live today. Let's take his word to heart and let's apply it to our life and make a difference. Let us take this gospel beyond the walls of our home, beyond the community in which we live, and make it available to the world as best we can. Let's stand together today and ask the Lord to help us to do this. This morning we'll have just a moment. Let's take time in prayer. Talk with God before we come to the table. Have our hearts cleansed, our hands cleansed before we take of the body, this bread, the cup, this blood, and be reminded.